While we're still in here together, if we put that picture up, Darlene, of the little girl, I want you to see a picture of a little girl who was rescued from places that aren't good places. So that you don't have to explain what some of these things are. Just take a look at her. And she was in the most severe captivity that you can imagine. Yeah, and she was rescued. And this was sent to me this morning. Can someone bring this up for me, Mike? Can you bring this up? She was sent to me, this picture was sent to me this morning, and I felt that God wanted us to see this. And it seems as though we continue to, thank you, honey.
Right here?
Yeah. We continue to speak about India. There's been a lot of focus on India and Asia and that part of the world. And it's true, there is, but there is a focus of the Lord all around the world. But the Lord keeps showing up in ways that are just so profound for what we're doing right now and what he's doing in us right now, that he wants us to catch the glimpse and catch the vision of what he's saying to our hearts for us perfectly for Frontline Worship Center right now in this season, so that we can hear what he's doing inside of us so that we can respond. This little girl has been through more negativity than most of us can even appreciate. She's been through more struggles than many of us can even fathom. You know what the type of captivity is. Who does not know what I'm talking about? Is there anybody in here? Okay, the word I'm going to at least explain to you right now or mention to you is brothels, and you can figure that out. So that much we're going to talk about. We don't have to go into the details with the children here, but this is the little girl who lived there and was rescued right now. And everything that we're part of right now in this season, God is saying, I want you to feast your eyes on her, because when you see this picture again, she will have her eyes covered, because she'll be on our website, but not for other people to see. Do you know why? Because there are traffickers around the world who want to do her in, do her harm, and take back their property. Because she was rescued, she was taken out of the darkness and brought into the light. And she is being raised up right now to, this is being recorded, this is, she is being raised up right now to become a leader in the body of Christ. She doesn't know that. They don't know that necessarily unless they have prophetic insight. But she is being taught and trained and taken care of and going through healing and restoration. And she's just been drawn into the family of God in a beautiful way. Her needs, her physical needs will be taken care of. Her emotional needs, we're trusting, will be moving in the right direction of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is upon her. It's just amazing. And someday you may get to meet her. But there are countless numbers of children just like her, even younger. And we work with them. Many of you who are part of the Frontline family, and we have your email for, received a letter in your email. Is there anybody who did not receive? If you have email and you did not receive this letter, can you put your hand in the air today? Put your hand today that you did not receive a letter this week. Okay. There's a yellow card in front of you. If you can put your name and email address on there, that would be great. And there's another letter that we're sending out actually all across the nation. And that's going out, we're hoping, tonight. And that is one that will also come to you. And it's very similar in content, although the cover letter is different. And you are free to take that letter that doesn't say, hello, Frontline family, and you can forward it to anybody the Lord puts on your heart. They will be drawn to our website. They will have information about this type of atrocity. And hopefully, they will be touched in heart by the message. And it's a really good tool for you. We wanted to give you a tool. And we're sending it outside of the States as well. But a lot in the States too. Awaken people. We're looking forward to the day when Pastor Benjamin from India will join us and come and be our guest speaker at a big banquet in this area of Ohio. This is not what he's doing right now, because he's too busy doing the work of the kingdom. I just love it. And he says, you do this. Thank you. And I got a letter from him this morning. And then after I read this, I would just want the children then could be released. But I want to read this to you so you can hear this, children, because everything that you do, when you walk by that bulletin board and you see pictures, this is one of the leaders of the group of children that you're praying for or that you're making things for and that we're sending to India. And we're going to increase in that area as well. And so God wants you to see that there are real people involved. That's why I want the children to see these things as well. But I got this letter this morning, And it's funny because I wasn't going to check my email as doing other things with the Lord, but I just felt prompted to do that, and this is, I'm sure, why. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what he says is, if Christ wanted to, he alone could save the children held in bondage. Don't we agree? God can come and zap all of us, and there would be no reason for any of this. We would just all be in glory. But you see, things changed when Adam and Eve decided to allow sin to enter into the world by just saying, God, I really don't believe you. And so things completely changed, and everything was stolen away. All that perfection was stolen away. And so Jesus needed to come to restore the kingdom, and we have been restored, so we have an opportunity to demonstrate that kingdom, as many of you know. He says, Christ chooses to save the children. He needs you and me. He needs us to put the best foot forward, and the challenge is a big one, and very soon we will be winning the war. Now hear this. There are three kinds of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what's happening. Let me say it again, because we all fit into one of those three categories. Are we ready? Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what's happening. I'm here building a missionary team that makes things happen. We're beginning in a much greater way to infiltrate the deep and the dark new places and then take children out from it. Revival had broken out in Capernaum, yet Jesus went to bed that night, and he woke up and he was troubled in spirit. In the early hours of the morning, Jesus was driven to pray. And we're going to look at that passage in Mark in just a moment. We are going into new lands, much more horrendous places that we have gone into before. Thank you for standing with me. I love you, my very dear mom. Love to Papa Bill. Why do I give you the end of that? Because you need to see that there's relationship and there's family. And the numbers of people that are actually putting their lives literally on the line. In fact, this rescue we thought was taking place as we speak. It's going to be in a few days. But there's another very big one that's taking place somewhere, because I'm not putting it on the tape. Okay? And it's very dangerous. But fortunately, as you have heard from me before, Pastor Benjamin and those he's training up live in the power of the Spirit. Or they need to. He does. And he desires that. And so they rely on the supernatural all the time. And they're so filled with God's grace and so desirous of doing the great exploits for the Lord, knowing they can do nothing without him, that they've laid down their lives to the point of death. Wow. And God says, will you do that? Well, I don't know, maybe. Well, we might sing about it, but, you know, God says, I just want to speak to your heart. What kind of person are you? Are you a person that makes things happen? Watches things happen, or wonder what's happening. And we do fall into one of those three categories. And sometimes when someone speaks about those things, the person gets shot, like me. Because I would like to think that I'm a person who makes things happen by the power of the Spirit, because I can't do anything without him. And people don't like to hear that many times, and they come and shoot. Why? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. Because the Lord's raising up a laid down group of lovers, warriors, bridal warriors, kings and priests, those who are so consumed by the power and love of God that even when the arrows fly, they'll recognize and respond in love through power. Period. And then, as those things come, they can rise up, take a breath, and keep going up the hill. But it's not easy. What Pastor Benjamin is doing is not easy. He has chosen to count the cost. And God says today, what kind of person? Sometimes we think that if we need more than just a word like that to get us out of where we are, to propel us further. But you know, when the Lord says, if you hear something that's from my heart and you give it, it has power in it. Beth, are you in here? Oh, Bethany and Hannah's brother, Joey, is visiting from Thailand. He was here this morning. And What a great guy. I only met him once at Bethany's party. But he was here, and I walked out. I was in the hallway, and I just said, oh, hi, Joey. It's good to see you again. He had to go do whatever because he's leaving tomorrow. But the Lord came upon me right there. Boom. And I looked at him, and I my eyes got filled up. It's like, oh, gosh, Lord, I don't even know if he understands prophetic words and things like that because I don't know him. I don't know. But it was so strong. And the love and the power, it was power, came out of me. And I just gave him this awesome love blessing from God. And I said, Joey, I don't even know you. And his eyes were fixed on my eyes. He didn't move. He didn't look around. He was gazing into my eyes. I was gazing into his. And I thought, wow, God, you don't miss anything. Even as someone's going out the door for whatever, you know, his eyes are on us. And I thought, oh, God. We had a prophetic release on Tuesday night. Past the time that, you know, is comfortable. 9 o'clock. But God did something. It was amazing. Because he told me, I want to do something. I was like, okay, God, well, you're God, I'm not, I can't make it happen. I want to do something. So we pressed through into the holiness of God. How? And the Lord came upon us. Several of us gave very strong prophetic words at the end. And gold dust started breaking out in the place. Little kids were coming up. I've never had this on my hands before. And there was a powerful prayer of impartation over the children. Oh, because our little children are the most vulnerable, don't you see? We're all children. But if the enemy can touch us so that we don't see that, the older ones, older than me, younger than me, forget your chronological age, but these itty-bitty ones, they don't know how to fight yet. But the enemy is saying, all I have to do is mess with their brothers and sisters and mothers and dads and grandparents and everything else. If I can do that, if I can distract them in any way so that they're not seeking first the kingdom of God and my righteousness and believing that all shall be added unto me, then I've succeeded, because they all probably love Jesus somewhere in that, and maybe a lot. But if I can succeed in distracting them, they'll still make it in the kingdom. I can't have them back as they're serving God here, but I can sure mess them up. And that's what he tries to do. So when Paul started this morning, when Pastor Bill began to sing out in the team, he said, wakey, wakey. The Lord's saying, wake up to all of us. This is not a funeral dirge and a little lullaby time. So when we worship the Lord, if you feel like that, something is wrong. I'm serious. Something is seriously wrong, because there's no funerals in heaven. There are no funerals in heaven, only resurrection. And we might call it just sleeping in the glory. And God says, no, I'm sorry. You're not hearing me. So there is none of that. So if you start feeling complacent or, oh, yeah, there's probably a problem. Because the Holy Spirit is fiery and he's strong and he's ready to take us to the next place when we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That doesn't mean you have to be hopping off your chair 24/7. You can be in the glory. But someone had a word that God, what God is trying to say to us, which I believe is true, and it wasn't my word, is that our spirit man on the inside can't slumber. But if anything, the enemy tries, can get through so we feel lulled, then we start to slumber, and that is nothing but flesh. Chew on that. You may not know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you, that's straight from heaven. Someone else gave it to me, and I said, yep, my spirit says yeah. So how many want to go for everything God has? And it's not just a rally from a coach. I am a coach, but it's from the deepest part of our hearts that we want it all. And I'm not going to settle for second best. I don't want the leftovers in the fridge. I want the new banquet. I want to be at that banqueting table. Who wants to be with me that way? Because that's where I'm going. Only two or three or four. I'm really serious. You may think, well, it's all about PMP saying that. No, it's about him. I'm just a little girl saying, give the message of love. Okay. Thank you, Paul.
No problem.
Children, you are released. Happy camping. I'm going to show you some things. Actually, I'm going to ask Darlene, there's a picture of a war. And you guys who are leaving won't get to see it. So listen to the tape, and you'll have to look it up yourself. There's a picture of a war that I want to show you because the Lord spoke this to me in a really strong way last night, actually. Going up the hill, we're taking the mountain. You know, all of us who say, well, we're in a battle, and we're warriors for Jesus, and we really are. We're in this kingdom, and we've got to fight, fight, fight. You know, somehow we can do that. We're on the football team. But when we're really thinking of ourselves as soldiers for Jesus, if we don't have the right tools or we don't use them, then we take all kinds of hits that we don't have to. And that happens all the time because that's the only way the enemy can get us. So these guys are going up the hill, and they're on the island of Iwo Jima in World War II in Japan. You know, I know a little bit about it. I've seen the statue in Washington and all that. But last night, I was compelled, I believe, by the Lord, because that's normally not what I do about midnight. So midnight, I'm searching this out, and I'm reading till about 2 and something in the morning, loving it, going, oh, this is great. There's so many parallels. Oh, my goodness. What? I've got to tell them about this. I said, Lord, is this really from you? I'm preaching tomorrow. What are you telling us? What are you saying? He goes, show them the picture. These guys are going up the hill, and they're going up together. It's a little island in Japan. It's about 650 miles outside of Tokyo, but it was a very strategic island. And maybe, how many of you know a lot about Iwo Jima in World War II? Great. So you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I got it off the internet, so we'll see. I mean, it's got to be right. But anyway, if you want to read more, you can go. Just Google Iwo Jima. There you go. There, it can take you right there. But anyway, when I was reading about this, I was reading for some of the details because I thought, well, there are a lot of details that are buried many times in our hearts that we can't see what God's really trying to say. When he speaks to us in Scripture and he says, folks, first the natural, then the spiritual. Understand what I'm saying. I'm going to give you a picture of what life really looks like. And if you catch it, woe to you in a good way. Woe, because the wisdom of God will start to overtake you. Because you'll see what the bigger picture is. If we don't have something much bigger to hold on to, we're going to just flounder like a fish, you know, coming up for air and grasping. And God says, no way. The name of the company that actually took flags up, you can take, well, there's a picture of the flag. There's 6 guys going up to the top of this hill to claim it in the war with the Japanese. This is their island. And that they were going to put this flag up, and it took 6 of them. And if the numbers were right, there was a big celebration at the end, but only 3 were even living. 3 of them died right after that. That's what I read. It's like, whoa, wait, oh, hey, whoa, ho, I never heard that one. I thought that they were all going to glory. No, no, no. There were casualties. There were many casualties. They put the flag up, but there were casualties. It's like, okay, so what's the parallel here? Well, read on. So the Easy Company, I mean, I loved it. The name of the company taking the hill is called Easy. Ha! Did you ever know that? Who knew that? Something new. Oh, you knew that. Praise God. You a history teacher? No, okay. That's awesome. Something new. The Easy Company. Did you ever think of yourself as the Easy Company? Like, I'm easing in. You know, Pastor Bill last week was talking a little bit about living in the resurrection life and saying, let's get on the cruise ship. And then I get up and say, yeah, but we have to row together. The cruise ship of the glory is one thing, but if we're not rowing together to get to the cruise ship where the glory carries us, we are just plain foolish. Uh-huh. So listen to this. That pole that you're looking at, that weighed 100 pounds. That's a big pole. They wanted that to last. They actually took 2 flags up. Went through this twice. But there were Japanese on the land that burrowed in volcanic rock. 21,000 of them on this little island. 21,000. And they burrowed like in little catacombs in this rock, and they were connected by underground tunnels for 16 miles. They fought everything underground. Wow, how interesting. Our arch enemy. There's no God in this. Well, there's no God in war ever. Well, I think we're at war every day of our lives, and there's God in it. And the Lord says, you better see it, you better know it, better understand it, because it's a war of life and death, and it's a war of love. And if we really understand and receive this love that we sing about, and understand who we're worshiping and all of that, we have a different perspective. And God will change our heart, our intensity, our drive, our passion, our perspective. Everything will change because he birthed us in the Spirit to live that way. We cannot do it ourselves. Hikaraba. All right, so there's 21,000 Japanese buried. And some people say 22,000. I read on the same site, it's a mistake somewhere, I guess. So it's 21 or 22, but 110,000 U.S. troops, 110, with 880 warships or ships coming, sailing. They left from Hawaii and it took them 40 days. I love the number 40. Isn't that amazing? Think about that, 40. Do I need to say more? Can we move on? Think about that though, would you please? 40. Ponder it. Talk about it at dinner. Why 40? What is she saying? Figure it out. Okay, so 40 days. And it was the largest armada or fleet invasion during that war in the Pacific. It was the largest one. And for 5,000 years, no intruder had ever, or an intruder would be foreign, but any intruder has never been able to set foot on Japanese soil. And here comes the United States, da-da-da, with 110,000 troops. But the 21,000, oh my gosh, they were safe. They thought. They fought for 36 days. Now, there were many casualties. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit. Now, casualties meaning they got shot, they got arms blown up, they got feet blown up, you know, they were maimed. It was horrible. 25,000, these are our guys, 25,851 U.S. casualties. One in three were killed. It's like, I can't understand that. 6,825 were actually killed. How many like statistics? Just a few? Okay, put that hand up, even if you don't understand it. I like statistics. Come on. I think that's cool. Gee. Okay. People don't think I like that kind of stuff. I used to teach accounting in business. You may not know that, but I like that. So 6,825 killed. All the Japanese, virtually all the Japanese perished, all. The mountain was taken. Virtually all died. I mean, if whatever that means, if someone... It said virtually, so I'm just telling you what it said. But basically, the enemy was plundered completely. And it's a huge, huge deal. So as I was reading, going, okay, that's fine, that's a history lesson. Some will go, okay, another lesson on warfare. I've heard this before. Well, we're going to go a little bit deeper than that. That's just something to chew on for a minute. I read about this strategy of this Iwo Jima battle, and it was quite intriguing to me, actually. Do you know, maybe you don't know this, but I will tell you, in Iwo Jima, there was a very strategic location, not only that we could fly and really get over to Japan, or to Tokyo, it was part of Japan already, but it also was a fortress for our, what were called, super fortress planes, the B-29s. And so it was a super fortress opportunity for the fighter jets that would surround and take the B-29s into Japan to actually get refueled. So it was, you know, in a sense, covering the big guns that did the job, that came into Japan and did the rest of the job around in the other countries for World War II. But they were known as super fortress, the B-29s. But they needed protected fighters, they were called, the fighter jets. They needed the protected fighters, and they needed to have enough range, because they didn't, because they were small little boats, or, you know, planes. But they needed a range. They had to have that island so they could finish the job. Very strategic. So, the United States intelligence decided, We're taking that land. We need that land. We need the land in northern Ghana because we're going north in the continent of Africa. If we don't have that vision, if it's not clear in our heart, and we're not willing to give up whatever it takes to get there and keep pressing in every time we go back with the fights with the occult and everything else, it's not going to happen. It's a parallel. It's the first thing I thought of. We've got land right on the border. More acres than we thought we had. And the devil's tried to kill us numerous times. But a big one last year, it still didn't work. God is saying, I'm serious about what I'm talking about. Because I'm all about, you go occupy the land. And when you occupy the land, you are the king of the hill. Because I am and I'm in you. And then you take these people for you. There's no time to be sitting in our stuff. It just isn't. Thanks, Paul. It's like, well, can I take freedom class and can I get counseling? Can I get, of course. You know, Jesus is sensitive, but he's serious. He's saying, take advantage, serious advantage of the tools that you have and get over yourself and get past your deals. Please hear my heart. Because I counsel and talk and love people a lot. And I want to see us all be able to say, I'm in that first crowd. I'm not just wondering what's happening. I'm not watching what's happening, but I am now being used to make things happen by God. I'm being used by God. Hey, if we need that stirring, let's get it, but we need to know why and how and what the stakes are and what the cost is. Could someone maybe turn that just a little bit? Then it won't. My papers won't fly. It's the door. Okay, well then, if it flies, it flies. Just want to make sure I... Yeah, maybe I'll take a book. That's good. My wonderful... favorite book that I want you all to read. Is she telling me what to do? Oh, no. May it never be. Okay. Let me read a few more things that will intrigue you as it did me. The general, okay, I'm going to say his name, the Japanese commander of Iwo Jima, Kuribayashi, I think I said it right. Kuribayashi, yes. General Kuribayashi was brilliant. He's dead, but he was brilliantly, he's dead. And all of his troops, but he was brilliant. He was very crafty. He was very smart. He was trained and educated in Canada. He toured the U.S. He was one of the few soldiers ever granted in Japan, an audience by Emperor Hirohito. His preparations, fortifications, and strategy were marvels in the history of warfare. He was top dog. He really was. He was amazing. And he had a quite interesting strategy. Listen to this. Here's the strategy of this guy. He says, or it was said about him, the Japanese didn't fight above ground. They fought the battle entirely from underneath. And I guess that's kind of so you couldn't be seen. I'm reading that going, Lord, you're so smart. Oh, my goodness. We got all these battles that, you know, to occupy, to stay in freedom, and these wars that aren't fun or anything like that, but there's a cost to pay because the very darkness that invades our families, our lives, our children, that come and torment us and hurt us, okay, are shown very vividly in war. And even in the strategies, because the enemy is just not really slick, except he has a lot, but nothing compared to the powerful Christians who are on this earth. If they walk in it, if they have it, if they realize it, if not, Satan will beat you. Yeah. The foolish Christian is one who takes that lightly. That's foolishness. Because you play with fire, and you don't have a bigger fire to put it out with or to take it and move it and do something with, then that's foolish. So this guy thought he had it all. And so one of his strategies also was that not only did they fight only underground, or they would hide underneath the ground, they had a strategy called No Japanese Survivors. They planned not to survive. Interesting. Japanese strategy was for each soldier to kill at least 10 Americans before they themselves were killed. So they had this, you know, mentality of, okay, I'm going to give my life for the good of something. It's always for a bigger purpose, except they were duped because they gave their life for the enemy, and they didn't know it. They thought, I'm just doing this for my country, and this was something that was not from the Lord. And so they fall into this strategy. They're lured or lulled into a place of, boy, this is bigger than me. I think I'll grab onto it. And some of us do that in our own relationships. We do that in our marriages. Do you know that? We can stand in our marriage and we can gaze into the beautiful eyes of our lover and just think, oh, I just have the best guy or the best girl in the whole world. And before you know it, you can find yourself wrapped up with a ribbon so tightly around you that you can't move and you cannot see the wolves that are all around you in a circle ready to eat your lunch because you're gazing, you're stargazing, and you're not on duty. You do not see. Because you've been lulled into complacency. That's what we see here in America and around the world. Because that's the way the enemy plays. So we see the strategy for this Iwo Jima war. Okay? But we don't take it seriously, maybe until today, and apply it to our own lives. And it only takes one. It only takes one for what? It takes one to see it and go, wait a minute, I can't participate in this. I'm deeply in love with my spouse, or I want to be, but there's a war going on and something's wrong with this picture, and if I'm part of the problem by showing love in the wrong way, I can't show love in the wrong way. Oh, yes, you can. You can show love, or you think you're showing love in the wrong way, and not see what God is doing, and not hear what God is saying at the moment. If God is saying, pay attention, I've just showed up, here I am, here's what I'm going to do, are you moving with me, or are you doing your own thing? He'll say it maybe not quite so loud, but if we hear his voice, but we're just la 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 la, then we're going to miss what he's doing. And that's when the enemy comes in and strikes. He likes to isolate us, pull us into ourself, pull us into our corners. And if we have one other person that's like-minded and thinks that way, then we can pull ourselves right into a place of slumber. It happens so quickly because that is one of the strategies. When I read this last night, I thought, okay, I don't know exactly what you want me. I didn't have this all figured out, and I still don't. But he just said, give it. And I'll fill your mouth with what they need to hear. I wasn't thinking about all these details. Some of the things were easy, like 40 days. Got it, God, you know. But after I got the general gist of this, he said, go to bed and I'll tell you what to say in the morning. So this is part of it. I don't know about you, but in my marriage, I don't want wolves surrounding me, ready to nip at me or bite or take me down. Do you want that?
No.
Okay, now if you're single and you're not married, because married means two, single means one. So if you're single, there may be one other person or relationship where the same situation's going on. You've got to see. You in this room who are listening to this by tape maybe need to have eyes open to see. What are you saying? If two people don't see and they come into agreement, you have no idea. You know, one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. What do you think it does in the negative? Hell, what do you think it does in the negative? Oh my goodness. So we got people in marriages or in relationships or in singleness who have close friends or whatever it would be because we're all relational people. How? One puts 1,000 to flight. Okay, God. And two puts 10,000. Do the math. We have to watch what we agree with. And who we agree with. And if it's not in our spirit, we just know, no. I may not know what to do. I may not know how to act. I may not know what the next thing is. But when I get on my face and say, God, help me, and others around me, help me, I'm not betraying my friendship or my love. I'm being smart. I'm saying, God, I don't want, something's not quite right. Shake me up. How? I need to see. And if we have come into any kind of slumber, we need to repent so quickly because lives are on the line. Lives are on the line. That's why I showed you the little girl with flowers, rescued out of the brothels from guys holding her down and raping her, for goodness sake. I think children are gone. Think about this. Oh, but it doesn't touch me. Oh, yes, it does. If you're in this church, it does. Because that's where we're going. When we cried out and said, deepest, darkest places, Lord, I just love you, Jesus. He said, really? Do you know what that means? Do you know what the cost will be? Are you ready to count the cost? Are you ready to lay your life down? Are you ready? Well, I'm not going. I'm just going to support with my prayers or my money. Hey, if you're in agreement with what God's saying, you're in that spiritual network, and guess what? You've got a target on you. Oh, and if you can't see it, others can. Because that's how God designed us in the body of Christ. There's a network of spiritual intelligence. So that's how we can read somebody's mail. That's why I was crying when I spoke to Joey. I don't know Joey, but he's an awesome person who's got an incredible destiny. God showed me some of it. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ho. Yay. So, you know, when we're on the mission field, overseas anyway, mission field, you know, there's a mission field here. We just walk out the door on a mission field. Or we're part of the cool project, or we're doing things corporately, you know. We're always stepping in to do something to help the cause of Christ and build the kingdom. Okay, so when we're overseas, we spend a little bit more time together so we can actually talk and see each other every day and live in tents and all that kind of stuff, depending on where we are. And so we always tell people, hey, when you get back, here's what really is going to come down. And we're not negative people. We're just wise to the strategies. We've gone through it. We've paid some of the price, and more is coming. And we're saying, Lord, if there's any other strategies, we want to see it. Because this boat's sailing, and you're the mastership. You're the mastership. So we tell people about that, you know, and they go, yeah, 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 I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, and then we turn around, and it's like, la, 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 la. For some, maybe momentarily, maybe caught up in busyness and work and family and other things, but whatever, the fire inside is not burning. It's not raging. It's not, yeah, I'm going to take that mountain. I'm going up with the troops. I'm going to stay corporately connected, and we're putting the flag on the hill. Shikarabasi. It happens. It has happened every year. And I'm saying this year, wherever that may have started, that we're pulling it back and saying, wake up for all of us because we're going forward. If you think about it, when I started out, I mentioned to you that the flag was going up, six guys. We're putting the flag up second time, and several were dead right after that, and little did they know. We're going to show you another picture of the celebration right after this mountain was taken. It's on the website somewhere. And there's a whole bunch of people there who, it's right below it. I think there's a bunch of them. When it comes, you'll see it's a celebration. They're like, yeah, we took the mountain. Wow. When we went into Nyange, a very dangerous place in the spirit to go, in Africa this summer, and we took the mountain, another piece of the mountain there. Wow, yay, God. And then there's fallout, casualties, things like that. Why? Because the enemy says, how can I trick them? Rats, I don't like this. Ha, ha, ha. So we have no choice if we're going to be in the army of God, no choice but to say, I have got to burn. And if we're not burning, it's not God's problem, it's ours. Honestly, we need to repent. We don't like that word, but God says repent. Because if you're hearing something and it's making you mad, then get on your face and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I don't want to be part of this. I want to be part of the solution, as Cynthia was preaching about 5 weeks ago. Not the problem, the solution. Because I've seen a lot, I've incurred a lot, and I'm ready to be part of the solution.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen to General Kurabayashi's command center, the building itself. Let me tell you what it says. It says that it had 5 feet thick walls, 30 foot thick roof, and it was like a cement capsule, and it was under 75 feet of rock. And it was blown up, gone. Nothing could protect him. When good came in, when the light shined in the darkness was obliterated. That's what God wants us to see. The light is shining. God is saying, I am here. I don't have time. Now hear me. Hear my heart. All you worship guys and girls and ladies and gents and children, I don't have time for the religious. I don't have time for the sleepy town. I don't have time for the la la la. I don't have time. And that's not God saying, snap it up, baby, I'm commander and I'm going to boot you. That's not God. He's God of love and he's God of patience. But he's saying, when you hear the truth, you will know that when you get up to sing and play and we get up to sing and dance and all of that, that we are ready to jump in, go to heaven and say, God, I may not feel very confident, but I am going up and nothing's going to stop. And if there's a shift, and it's from your hand, which is what a shift will be, I'm flowing with it. And if I don't know where to flow, then there's a block in me. Because if I don't know where to flow, I'm not hearing you because you always flow. Now, I say that because if we're not in a flow of when God's speaking, then we need to repent quickly. If we need to repent at our chair, we need to do it. If we need to repent in the back, I need to do it. If we need to be on a microphone or whatever and repent, say, God, forgive me. I don't even know what this is, but I feel a yuck. Lord, forgive me and forgive. Forgive. You see, there is a corporateness about forgiveness that God just loves. If you read history, biblical history, and you read about any of the major battles in history, King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, read it. It's wonderful. It's not long. It's amazing. You know, their lunch was going to be eaten by the invaders who were going to take their land. And Jehoshaphat was humble enough to call a fast and say, we're fasting. Women and children, boys and girls, so to speak. You know, animals, everybody. We're fasting and we're praying. And then when we step into the battle, we're going to put people out in front who are going to be singing, praising God, beating their drums and everything else, whatever they had, their lyres. Using their musical instruments. And we're going to worship. But before we step in, we have realized our enemy and we've done something about it. They have fasted. They have prayed. They have sought the face of the Lord corporately. It's like, wow, God, that's kind of easy to see. Why don't I do that? Why do I resist that? Why do I say no? You guys, you have heard me speak much in here, some in here, about prayer and fasting. And today, I'm going to give you a challenge. And I'm not a book peddler, but this book is one of the greatest books I've ever read. And when I pick it up from time to time, I go through it again. And every time, I find something new. I'm going through it. I finished it again for the fifth time. Because it's the hidden power. I want you to hear the word hidden. Sometimes we see prayer and fasting. But the letters that are above that say hidden. Hidden power. That means it's power that needs to be discovered. And if you want the power of God, praying and fasting individually and corporately is part of your mandate. It's part of your marching orders. Those who went up that mountain in Iwo Jima, they were trained up. And part of their weaponry was their rifle. But one of the guys who was putting the flag up, I forget his name now, I had written it down, but he held the flag with flagpole with two hands. And it was showing up in the pictures, you know, up close. Do you want to see this up close? Like, yes, it's 1:30, but yes, I want to see these things. And there was significance there. There's the victory, and many of those died after that. Because the battle continued on. Maybe they let their guard down. I don't know. I don't know the reasons. But we have to think about these things. I'm going to keep these up so that we can see. We need to declare and decree, oh my gosh, Lord, I need to grow up in this season. So I'm challenging everyone who considers themselves a leader. If you have read this book before, okay, can I see your hands in the air? Okay, look around. Okay, you are the very people that I'm challenging to read this beginning this week. If it's been, you know, not this season, like the last month or two. I'm challenging you, all the leaders of Frontline, to get this book and read it yourself and give it to your spouse and ask them if they would continue to do that too. We need this. It's not a how-to manual. Well, if I eat bread, should I drink water? In its you know, entirety, there certainly are some tips. But this is filled with power. It's anointed. It's from a person who has paid the price, who has actually fasted and prayed in ways that many are not called to do. But he was called over 20 years to do 30, 40-day fasts and not tell anybody about it, not preach about it, not sing about it, not, you know, or do anything about it, at great cost to himself and his family. And he worked full time. So how could that be? He had a grace to do this because God said, you, I'm going to use you. I love you and you love me. I'm going to show up. I'm going to use you so that you will really have what they need. And then you can impart to them what I know they need. So I'm going to use you, but you got to pay the price. And when you read this, it'll bring you to tears. It's like, wow. And it will stir you up. Some of us have been lulled into complacency about corporate fasting, individual fasting, corporate prayer, individual prayer. And I believe the enemy's trying to get in because he looks and he sees who the real serious ones are. This one even talks about children. It's so well written. What about children? You can read it. And we have some in the office that we had on a table out here during throne room stations or wherever they went from last night. Who put them away? I don't know. Can somebody get them? I just don't know what's left. So, you know, I want to make them available because I think we need this. Seriously, it can be a handbook for you to guide you. It's filled with scripture. And if you go and you read it with the right heart, not something that I have to do, but wow, there might be a discovery for me here. I think God's going to bless you in a new way. Thanks. Can I have him up here, sweet? I think he's going to bless you. So I'm challenging first the leaders. And when we listen to, thanks, Darlene, when we listen to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, if we don't respond, that really tells the enemy something. Well, that sounds like control. That means I have to do it. That means that there's a wooing. Okay? A wooing of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. He's saying, I'm speaking in a season. I want to impart to you what you need to fly above the clouds. What you need to be that jet fighter around the B-29. What you need to take that hill and what it's going to be like. What's going to change things in our worship? Increase. What's going to change things in our worship out here and increase? What's going to change the things in our job and our families and our marriages? What's going to change the stargazing that has ended up into maybe idolatry and even some jealousy? God says, look at that and see. Because he's a good God. He loves romance. He loves marriage and he loves things. But it's very easy. And when there's something inside that God says, oh my gosh, I didn't see how, you know, Susie Q is just having this stumbling block that came at her and, you know, it's just something in there and she doesn't recognize it. But if she pray and fast, this is something that I do because I'm God and I figured out the plan. And I will root it up and out and she will see. Things come to the surface and power is the result. And Jesus figured that out right before he stepped into ministry, 40 days of prayer and fasting. And he went in the fullness of the Spirit. As you know, we've already discussed this and get listen to it. We've talked about this 2 weeks ago, actually, and many other times. And when the podcast gets up in the next day or so, you can go into the website and get that under one of the messages. But he went in the fullness of the Spirit, but he came out in the power. And I'm encouraging you to speak about that with those of you who are married. Speak about that with your spouse if they have ears to hear. If they don't have ears to hear, then you go into the wilderness and come out with power. You do it. And be careful to not agree with that which is not the Lord. Because if you do, if you're not seeing the fruit in somebody's life of this type of heart for Jesus, no matter what, I want to die to myself a million deaths each day if I need to, meaning I'm giving up myself, I'm easy to repent. I can't wait to repent. I'm repenting. I'm not holding. I'm not harboring. I'm repenting. Because it's not all about me. If you're one of those people, things will change much more quickly and your circumstances in life will change as well. Very important. We are destined to do great exploits for the Lord beyond what you've seen up here with the little girls. Like, well, isn't that big enough? It's big, but in God's eyes, he's saying there's more territory. And we're going to do this, and this place will grow. But the Lord's saying, it's time. It's time to really be serious about it. Some of our children are going to heck in a handbag, and we're watching it going, oh, I just really feel so bad. Oh my goodness. God says, do this and start stepping in and take your place. Lord, I want to take my place. What would have happened if all these troops would have said, I'm busy. When they get together in the barracks, do you think that they're talking about, you know, wow, I wonder what's happening on the tube or whatever. You know, let's listen to the latest tune on the radio, if there's a radio here. When they're in the trenches, they're really focused. And so it's a picture. It's not that we can't have fun and we can't enjoy one another, but they're so focused that even when they're having fun, enjoying one another, it's like, yeah. They don't forget the mission at hand. The mission at hand is really straight and really strong. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see if I want to give you any. I think those are the main facts to consider. In the message in Luke 14, 31 through 33, I'm going to read it to you. If you have a Bible, you can read that. Luke 14, 31 through 33. It says, can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it's possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Now I'm going to read that part again because some of you were trying to find this in your scripture. This is the message. Can I say it again? Receive it. Receive it inside, okay? This is verse 33 in the message. 14 says, simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, my wife, my children, my husband, my whatever person in your life, whether plans or people, and usually it's going to be people, but sometimes it's plans, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. You're kidding me, right, Lord? I mean, I couldn't do without. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that was strong, really strong. And so I believe that God wants us to know that if we're not going to really, you know, Pastor Bill can challenge us and say, are you willing to count the cost? And we go, yes. If we don't know what the cost really is, and we don't know what it may look like, it's going to take everything, how can we be willing to commit to anything? How many times have we said, oh, I wouldn't have started this project if I would have known what it was like? I've said that. Yeah, Rachel. I said, wow, if I would have known it would have been like this, Lord, I wouldn't have committed to it. And you say it, but then you step in and go, wow, it was so big. I could never have accomplished where I was right now without the help and the power of the Lord. Of course I couldn't do it, because I wouldn't have been able to call on the Lord if I hadn't gone through it with the Lord. That's a good place to be. To be looking back and going, wow, look where I am now. Look what the Lord has done for me now. Look how God backed up these guys. We saw the celebration, but when they were going up the hill, God backed them up. It's a good place to be. But if you say it out of fear or frustration, that's not a good place to be. It's like, it's just been horrible. Oh my gosh, Lord, I can't believe it. Where's the glory? Where's the goodness? Where does God say, come in and go, what about me? Where are we recognizing God saying, you know, you got through this because of me. I helped you along. Even when you took control, even when you did things that weren't very wise, I was there. But you did pay a price that I didn't ask you to pay. Some of us pay the price for things that God is saying, I'll take that burden off of you. Oh, life is so tough. My friend is so, oh, they don't treat me so, oh. God is saying, well, why are you carrying that burden? Have you learned the secret of forgiveness? Have you learned how to live in my place of power? Have you learned what grace is like? No, it just hurts, and these are my feelings. He goes, I know, sweetie, and I'm here to help you with those feelings. But I have so many issues. I need to work through my issues. And he says, I know, sweetie, but are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because if you are, all these things will be added unto you. If you are not, you will harbor unforgiveness or jealousy or anger or passivity or fear or whatever. Offense. Some of us have actually repented for things before. I'm hearing this. That the enemy's trying to come back and say, bam, try to do something with that one. That's what he does. And then we start backwards again. Instead of recognizing, oh, that's one of those Scud missiles. No, in Jesus' name, I was set free of that. Hey, Lord says, know who you are, know what he's done, and thank him for it, and walk in your identity. Walk in who you are. If you don't walk in who you are, you're nothing but a marshmallow. And marshmallows get plummeted. And the Lord says, I don't want marshmallows. I want people who will stand up and take the mountain. Hey! And if we have to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. You're talking to me. Forgive me. I've held bitterness, anger, rage, or whatever. Or I've pulled myself back. I've taken control. I've isolated myself. I've stargazed. Just say, Lord, you're speaking to me. Forgive me. Lord, I'm taking my place. I'm taking who I am because I'm taking the mountain for you. Ho! Shikaraba. Ho, Rabasa. Shandarabasi. Thank you, Lord. Sharabasanda. I want you to write this date down. Next date, September 18, 19, and 20th. It's not going to sneak up on any of you. Okay? You're not going to wake up and go, I got to fast tomorrow, or I want to fast tomorrow. Oh, no. No, no. These are opportunities for you. Well, I can't because there's other ways you can fast. Read the book. You can do these things. I don't know. I didn't come up with this, guys. Jesus did. He said, fast and pray. Let me show you how. Let me show you what. I'm looking at your heart. I want your heart to be so strong that nothing will hold you down. Wa-ra-ba-shi. So, September 18th, 19th, and 20th. Bridegroom fasting and praying. Oh, wow. I'm wrong. September 8th, 9th, and 10th. All right, write that date down. Thank you. Thank you for standing up. That's good. September 8th, 9th, and 10th. And we have the privilege of being up all night on Friday night. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you why. You need to read the book. And it's not the answer in the book, but the book will guide you and guide your heart and show you what God's doing worldwide. You may hear a few things. Well, probably will, but not today. But in there, it's a great breakdown of what's happening and what God is saying he wants to do. And our busyness will be challenged. I am so busy and I have to work and I have to. If you'll read the book, you will see how those things will pale in light of the bigger picture. If you want the bigger picture, read this. Before you bring a judgment at home today at lunch with your spouse. I just can't believe it. They're talking about fasting again. I just can't do it. Don't you know what I'm going through? It is so hard. I've got 25,000 things to do and they don't understand. And it just makes me mad. Oh, I can't take it anymore. Maybe I should go somewhere else. This place just demands so much. I don't know. What's their problem? I think that's called judgment. Because there's no demand. There are opportunities. And what I'm asking is, in humility, I'm asking you to consider, especially the ones who raised their hands, I'm asking you to do this as our leaders, and those who aren't here as leaders, because you're all a leader, to read it again. And say, Lord, I want to read it with new eyes because I want you to show me where I have not seen. I want you to stir me up again. How many want to walk in the power of the Spirit of the Lord? Seriously, do you want that? Do you want to walk in that power? Do you want to walk in the power of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord? How many of you want to walk in that? How many really do? How many want the spirit of the fear of the Lord to overtake you every day?
so that you're like, count me in. Let's get her done. Let's go. You'll see the urgency of the moment because that person that you're walking by because you're too busy or whatever may just die. God is saying, let me change your perspective. If you want this, I really believe, a new look at prayer and fasting and what prayer and fasting really looks like and is in order for where he's taking us. Jesus said, this is a house of prayer. And when he went into the house of prayer and he found the thieves, he turned the tables upside down because it was so rank. It was a religious place. We have four to loan out here, but many have those they can borrow. If you, not, we can get you one. If you want us to order you one, come up and let us know. But don't leave here today if you want one and without one. And to finish up right now, thank you, Jesus. Hey, we are going to prepare these for all of you. We've done this for years, but they've got put back in a corner somewhere. Where are those watches of the Lord? Because we're really serious about this, because we really do want to go into these deep areas. And if you would like to have a folder that's filled with some helps for this watch of the Lord that's coming up on the 10th, okay, well, it's 8th, 9th, and 10th. The watch of the Lord actually is all-night prayer. I believe God will give you creative ideas. If he wants to encourage you to try to come or make a way somehow, do you know that he's just really brilliant? You think this Japanese dude was brilliant? God is brilliant. He always responds to your heart, and he knows your schedule. He really does. And if you don't see the purpose in it, it's not as important. Why are they doing this? If it was only at a different time, I might be able to consider it. Drop that thinking and say, Lord, I'm humbling myself with prayer and fasting, and I want to do it your way, and I want to see what you're even talking about here. And it's not that we don't corporately pray or fast other times. You can do that. We have prayer all the time together, but it needs to increase. And fasting, you know, individually is great, but these are opportunities for you. We don't force people to fast. You can't. I wouldn't anyway, even if I could, because I answer to Jesus. But it's an opportunity. But I am called to stir up the troops. I know that. Ho! Because I want that mountain, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
The Lord says, we got to press through because this battle is rough. Well, I've been in churches before when they talk about this, and they're just judging me. Well, actually, you're probably struggling with rejection, and you probably need to get healed. Or, you know, repent of that comment, you know, that thought. Because you're not responsible for the thought. Take me right on this. But you are responsible for what you do with it. So if that thought comes in you, that breaks my heart for you. Because I don't want you to be thinking that way. Jesus doesn't want you to be thinking that way. But he says you are responsible for what you do with it. Get some help. Get some freedom. Repent means change of thinking. Do you know that? But you may need some help with that. And that's okay. I'm there. I get help. I love that. It's good. It's good. It's good. So, Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, that we have agreed and we have said, yes, Lord, I do want the fire of the Spirit of God and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And Lord, I do want to take a look and I do want to think about these things and I do want to be counted in. I do want to count the cost and pay the price and all that. And above all of those warring types of statements, Lord, I do want to know you in the deepest places of my heart. I do want to know your love. Yes, Lord, I do. I want to be so in love with you that I will jump in, grab that charge, and say, yes, Lord, that's me. I'll jump in. And Lord, that any area of my life, Lord, where I had jumped in, even maybe a little bit more, that you're opening my eyes to see what's being stolen from me. Show me, Lord, even more. I don't want to be a marshmallow in any part of my world. But that's what the enemy wants for me. And Lord, I'm tired of just being blah. But I want my eyes to be open to see. And Lord, I thank you that today is a new day for me. And that even with the very situations in my life, even with the very trials that have come my way, even with the sadness, as my family members aren't right where I would like them to be, my heart is hurting and breaking, you understand. Because you are bigger than my feelings even. And you hold me. You died for my heart. You died for my feelings. You died for my heartache. And you rose to give me an opportunity for all of those to be carried by you. So that I could live in resurrection power and be able to breathe. And with that, that I could see that that relentless enemy cannot take any more from me, that I would see with new eyes today. See with new eyes. See where I've been judgmental. Real judgment from your perspective. See that's where I have not been able to see the unsaved with loving, kind, tender eyes. See where my own issues have so moved me to respond in negativity or in defensiveness or whatever, Lord God, to protect myself. Lord, you tell us that a humble person can never be humiliated. Lord, I desire to humble myself with prayer and fasting your way from your heart and understand what you meant by it, because I don't want to live in confusion or to live with my own opinion or to live in judgment about that very issue that's intended to allow me to soar, to allow me to soar and really be one of those people that can see and then help others up that mountain. May it be today, Lord. Bless your name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I can commit fresh and new. Thank you for the breakthrough today from me. In Jesus' name, amen.